tell me what you know. And I like that because feelings come and go. But the truth of a matter is the same. But anyway, good to be here tonight. Good to see all of you. Hope everybody's doing good. I got my message out like I'm getting ready to get into the message. Let me do the prayer request and updates first. We'll just go ahead and jump right into things tonight. Brother David Barker went to the hospital or the doctor today for a follow-up, and he's doing good. He was here Sunday, but he had to go for this appointment, and he's doing good. I got to go back and read my text, but he goes back at a later date for more testing, for more things. But praise the Lord that he's feeling better. And I got a text the other day from Miss Tracy Reese, and of course we know that she's in the process of moving toward, I believe that someone told me, the Helen area. I think she said White's County or something like that. But our mother, Miss Dorothy, she's going to be placed at Manor Lake Memory Center in Hiram. I know the name, I just can't place it. I'm sure if I've seen it, I'll know it. But that's Manor Lake Memory Center in Hiram. So she's going to be placed there. Not sure when. I'm thinking pretty soon, evidently, if she's moving, making plans to move. Talked to Miss Claudia last night, yesterday evening, and she wanted to, she shared a prayer request with me, and she says, just pray for me. And I told her I'd mention her tonight. So she goes Friday for an echocardiogram, and the doctors feel like there may be something there that they could fix that might make her feel better. And so I said, we'll pray to that end, that there's something that they could fix to make you feel better. So let's remember Miss Claudia tonight in our prayers, like I know you have been. So remember her. Let's see. Claudia told me also that Miss Nancy Farmer had cataract eye surgery. Do we know how she's doing?
She'll know tomorrow what the date is. I talked to her today. So they're going to give her a date tomorrow.
A date for surgery?
Surgery.
Okay. I misheard Miss Claudia. I think she said that she had surgery yesterday. Okay. Okay. Well, either way, she needs our prayers for it, so we'll be praying for whether she's had it or she had it or going to have it.
Justin, in reference to Claudia, she called me today.
Okay.
And the health nurse had been out and brought a doctor with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he has recommended her being put on morphine because of the pain and everything. And
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that update. Miss Claudia just needs a lot of prayers right now. Of course, she's adamant about coming. She wants to, be at her church and worship the Lord. And, who could blame her? I know that I would want to be at the same place. I would want to be at church if, I was going through some things and just struggling with it. I would want to be at church and not just at home all the time. So let's remember her. Miss Mary Kelly, she's going to be placed, by her own will, is going to be at Bethel Gardens here in Powder Springs. Is that right, Miss Mary? And I could just see her, my mind's eye, strolling through the hall, looking and seeing, if it's appropriate for her. And so evidently it's appropriate. Has she moved in yet? Or
this weekend.
This weekend, okay. She'll be close by. I like that. That's good. Need to keep an eye on her anyway, don't we? She's always up to stuff. So that's good. Let's remember Miss Mary Kelly. Let's see. Continue member Brother Bobby McClendon. He was here Sunday, but his strength level is still down. And so let's remember him and his iron infusions, I believe it is, that he goes to get. So let's remember him. Let's remember our children's home. Lanice Head, as she recovers from her fall. Brother Harold Dolph, he has upcoming MRIs. I need to get that date, ask him those dates again, but he's having some MRIs on his brain. And so let's remember him on that. I'll get those dates, and I'll let you know. Miss C.C. Prestridge, continue to remember her and her recovery. Last time I talked to her, she says her energy level's getting up. Things are going better. There's still some pain from the incision site, which I'm sure there will be for a while, but even that's going away. So praise the Lord for that. Miss Dawn Capistrano and her upcoming surgeries. I know she has to have one or two, she said. Tim Ledford, of course, he's been back. He's recovering well from his. Miss Connie Norton, who's been at home. She hasn't been in some time now to church because of her heart condition. And I don't believe Brother Trail was here Sunday. And so let's just continue to remember them in prayer. And Jeff Hodges' sister-in-law, Angie, that was here a couple weeks ago in service with us. As she gets ready to have, she may have already had it, some heart surgery. But if she has had it, let's remember in her recovery. If she hasn't had it, let's remember her in her surgery. The Palmers, Brother Leonard, Miss Dolores, Dawn, and Carla Rich. Read online today that they just received a tractor trailer full of Bibles, didn't they? Or it's going to come in July the 4th. I can't remember how much it was, but in the 30, like 30,000 or 20? 23,000. That's awesome. That is amazing. And so let's remember that as they get shipped over to Peru and get ready to be distributed. That'll be amazing. Of course, they've been doing this for years, and God has used this and used this ministry. So we praise the Lord for Don and Carla and what God's doing with them. Randy and Diane Ely, the Dalys, the Ashworths, all of our shut-ins, Barbara Anderson, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, and those serving in the military. Let's all remember those people when we pray. Someone have a request, an update, something they want to make mention of tonight?
Unspoken.
Okay. Any more unspokens tonight? All right.
My dad's getting his wheelchair.
Get his wheelchair?
Yep.
All right. That's good. Thank you for sharing that, Hassan. So let's remember Hassan's dad as he gets ready to use his wheelchair. Anyone else? Miss Glenda?
If y'all remember, Hunter had work late today, and he said, "Tell everybody hello," and he's sorry he couldn't meet you.
Yeah.
But his stepdad is having more brain surgery.
Okay.
And so if y'all remember him, his name is my friend this week.
Yeah, I got it wrote down at home. Hunter's stepdad?
Yeah.
I got it wrote down at home. I'll write it down here. And it's with the brain, right?
Yes, yeah,
brain surgery. All right. There's Miss Amber.
Hi.
Hey, good to see you tonight.
I'm happy to be back.
Yes.
It's been a long 2 weeks in Tennessee. I've definitely been missing y'all.
Well, we all been missing you and your girls, and Zach, it's so good to have you back. So hope you enjoy the service tonight, being back. Anybody have anything else? I didn't mention this Sunday, but kind of a unique situation. Remember my dad in prayer. I got a call last Friday or last Saturday that he was taken to the emergency room from Roberta Healthcare, where he lives in Roberta, Georgia. And he was taken to the emergency room over in Macon. I was told it was a Piedmont type, or Piedmont Hospital in Macon. Anyway, been trying to track him down, and I haven't found exactly where he's at. One of my half-sisters in Mobile – Mobile, Alabama, texted me and said that he's at such and such hospital in not Piedmont, and so we're actually trying to locate where he's at. But he is under the care of Roberta Healthcare, but he's just at a hospital in that area. But my sister-in-law, half-sister, did I say sister-in-law in first?
Half-sister.
Okay. Half-sister, she said he had a sepsis. Is it sepsis? Yes, I thought so. Come from a foot infection he had. The nurse over at Roberta Healthcare said that Dad didn't show up for dinner one night, and he's like the first one in his wheelchair at dinner, and he wasn't there, so she went to check on him, and he was laid across his bed on his side with his arm out, and his eyes were glossy and just didn't look well. And so she tried to prop him up, take his vitals, and his sugar was fine. His pulse was fine. She couldn't get an accurate blood pressure reading on him, and he was shaking real bad. And so come to find out, it's the sepsis from the infection. And so they immediately got him to the hospital. But anyway, just remember him, if you would, that we can locate him and find out his well-being, find out how he's doing. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Glad everybody has come. Of course, Jeff and Sharon are out of town, so they'll be back tomorrow. So we're going to minus the music tonight. But all that would, if you would meet me in the altar, all that could and want to and can, we'll have a time of prayer together, and then we will get right into the Word just after. First Peter chapter number 2 this evening. First Peter chapter number 2 is where we're going to be. First Peter chapter number 2. Sunday morning and Sunday night we were in Second Peter. And tonight we're going to be in First Peter. First Peter chapter number 2. I want to begin reading in verse number 19, 20, and 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. I'm going to stop reading there. I know the passage has a continuing thought that runs down to verse number 22 all the way through 25. But for the lesson's sake, we're going to stop reading in verse number 21. I'm not really sure who the lesson is for tonight. I know that every time that a message, a lesson is taught or preached, it's for everyone, but I also believe it's to certain ones. So there are times in church where certain lessons and messages are brought and preached and taught that might be just for you. And you may walk away and say, "That I needed that. I just needed that. That was for me." And someone else might say, "Well, you know, that it was a good message, but you know, I'm glad that you got what you needed." So the lesson tonight is for everyone, but it may be to somebody in particular. I also want to acknowledge those on Facebook. I don't ever want to take them for granted. And thank you for watching on Facebook tonight. Those even listening on the live stream on our webpage, if there's anyone listening. And the message, the lesson may be to you, somebody watching, somebody listening. And but it's for all of us. Tonight I want to call your attention to verse number 19, where he says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief." Notice these next two words: suffering wrongfully. Suffering wrongfully. I want to use those two words, suffering wrongfully, and bring a lesson tonight entitled just that, suffering wrongfully. Suffering wrongfully. I remember growing up, it was me and my brother. He's about a year and a half older than me. And man, he would get into trouble, and he would always blame it on me. You know, "I didn't do it, Justin did it." And of course, I look so sweet and innocent, you know. Sweet and innocent that, you know, mom knew better. She knew it was Chris. But no, there were times where I did my share of mischief growing up as a little boy. But certainly growing up, my brother, he tried to be slick and blame a lot of stuff on me. And probably if I took time to try to go through the avenues of my mind, I could remember probably a time or two where I took a couple spankings because of him. But it wasn't a good feeling to take the blame for something you didn't do. And in like manner, there are times, again, I don't know who this is for. It's for all of us, maybe somebody in particular. But there are times in life when we're suffering wrongfully. You may be suffering wrongfully in a civil matter, or maybe even a domestic matter. Something that you didn't do, yet you are being blamed for. You are being mistreated even. And so what does the Bible say about that when we're doing good and we're suffering for it, and maybe even perhaps we are being blamed for something or mistreated, then what do we do about that? What do we do? Well, that's what I want to try to answer tonight, some things that surround this topic of suffering wrongfully. Now, let me say this before I get into the lesson, that there may be all kinds of questions that stem from this lesson that come to your mind. Now, I want to clarify and say, if someone domestically, if a wife is being beat, if a child is being abused, that is a whole different matter. That's a matter where you need some intervention and help. But spiritually, you know, on the job and you're being mistreated, or again, a civil matter, something along those lines. What do you do when you are called upon by the Lord to suffer? All right, let me mention this, three things. Number one, in verse number 19, we see the focus of suffering wrongfully. There's a focus here. He says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Now, the word thankworthy here, for this is thankworthy. That word thankworthy means praiseworthy. It also means acceptable with God, or praiseworthy in the eyes of God. So we could read it this way, for this is acceptable. This is acceptable. This is praiseworthy in the eyes of God. This is acceptable in the eyes of God. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So Peter is saying that there is something to this being blamed for something, knowing you didn't do anything, and you endure that. He says that there is an acceptance from God concerning this. There's some glory in keeping your cool. There's some glory that is brought to the Lord. There is some praise that is brought to the Lord if a person who has done no wrong yet is enduring grief, treated like they have done wrong. The Bible says, for this is thankworthy or praiseworthy or acceptable. Now, the phrase here, it says conscience toward God. That phrase means a regard toward God. A regard toward God more than man, or a desire to please God. It also means to respect God. And so we have a situation here where there's a person who is suffering wrongfully. We could give an example of somebody at work. Again, somebody in a social circle. A person is suffering wrongfully, and yet their mindset is, during this process, I'm going to continue with character. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to have a conscience toward God. In other words, I desire to please God going through this time of suffering wrongfully. I don't know about you tonight, but to be in a situation where you didn't do something, you're being blamed for it and mistreated, that's a hard place to be. When you know that you didn't do anything, when you know you did right, think about David in the Old Testament. He did right, and Saul was always on his track. Of course, David had enemies that were against him, and as though he was a man who was doing something malicious to Saul or something along those lines. He was a man suffering wrongfully. And there's one particular part in the life of David where he, or a couple different parts. One part, he had opportunity to kill Saul many times, actually, but he didn't do it. Another part said that David behaved himself wisely, wisely in all of this. And so we find ourselves at times going through situations where we are suffering from something that's going on. We're not guilty of it. We didn't ask for it. It's happening. What do we do? Do we go after our own justice? Do we tell that person off? Do we pump our fist at them? What do we do? Well, Peter talks about an endurance here. He says, "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief." Now the words "endure grief" here means patiently bear up under. And so he says the man that is suffering wrongfully, this man is regarding God in the matter. He is thinking about what the Lord might be doing in this matter. He's thinking about, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm suffering wrongfully. God has placed me here. I can't go nowhere. What am I going to do? Am I going to retaliate? Am I going to get angry at this person because they're treating me unfairly? And he comes to the conclusion that I'm just going to endure this grief. I'm going to patiently bear up under it. There's been times in my life, I'm sure there's been times in your life, where maybe you've gone through something that wasn't fair. You were suffering wrongfully, being blamed for something or mistreated. Has anybody ever taken anything out on you because they were mad at someone else? And yet you're the object of their punishment because they know that you're tenderhearted and kind, and your first action of defense is not to fight, but it's just to settle stuff. And so they take it out on you. There's times where I've been through that. You've been through that. And so we see this first point is the focus of suffering. And Peter's saying the focus of suffering wrongfully is to keep your eyes on God as you endure that kind of grief. He says, "For this is thankworthy. This is praiseworthy. This is acceptable," he says, "with God, if a man for conscience toward God endure the grief." So a person who endures, that's the kind of character that's acceptable with God. So, really, we need to ask the question to ourselves, whatever we're going through, let's examine ourselves. Are we where we're supposed to be? Are we where we're supposed to be for a job? Are we where we're supposed to be for a church? Are we where we're supposed to be? I don't know. If you go to school, a place to live, and it's a good time to ask yourself those questions when things happen. Listen, every time I go, me or my family, all of us at one time encounter a storm or a trial, I always pray and ask God, "God, am I doing everything right? Lord, are we where we're supposed to be in these areas?" And if we are, drive a stake down and you just got to suffer through it. Paul said that none of these things move me, he says in the book of Acts. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm not going to give this illustration and name any names. I gave it a couple years ago. But there was a particular job I worked. And on that job, I was mistreated for like 2 weeks. I mean, a person came to work and just was ugly and mean and took out their frustrations on me. And I had opportunity to get even and to get right. I had opportunity to bring my own justice. And let me just say this. I don't ever gloat when I say that. I may say that being kind of humorous, like, "Boy, I tell you right now, if I didn't know the Lord, I would do this." Or, I don't ever gloat in that. But I had ample opportunity to get even, to get justice, but I didn't. I felt in my heart that it would ruin my witness. I knew that my time was leaving, where I was getting ready to pastor my first church. And so I endured it. I knew that was where God had me for the past, for those 11 months. And I was getting ready. I had a 2 weeks notice. And I wanted to finish well. And so I couldn't go nowhere. So I stayed put. And I wanted to finish strong. And by the end of my stay there, when I left, the person that was being ugly to me came around and apologized and said, "You know, Justin, the Christianity that you talked about for 11 months, I believe it now. I believe it now." And you see, that's what Peter's talking about. If you are following God to the best of your ability, I mean, you know you are where you're supposed to be, and somehow, some way, you are suffering wrongfully, he says, endure it, because there's something bigger going on. He says, but you got to have your conscience toward God. You have to regard God in the situation more than what man is doing to you. Regard him, a conscience toward God, desiring to please God, respect God, having a great regard toward God. He says, this is thankworthy or acceptable. But those are rough times, aren't they? Very rough times when you go through times of suffering. So number one, when it comes to suffering wrongfully, we see the focus of suffering, and that is to stay focused on the Lord. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Number two, in verse number 20, not only do we see the focus of suffering, but we see acceptable suffering. Acceptable suffering. In verse number 20, he says, "For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." That last phrase, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That actually defines what verse number 19 says, using the word thankworthy. Thankworthy means acceptable. Thankworthy means praiseworthy. Verse 20, where the word acceptable is used, he says, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. This is thankworthy. This is praiseworthy. But notice what he says before the acceptable kind of suffering. He says, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently?" The word glory there, what is he talking about? The word glory means honor, means merit. Excuse me. It means glory that goes to the Lord, that points to him. He says, now, if you do something wrong and you suffer for it and you pay your price through your suffering for what you did that's wrong, what glory does that bring to the Lord? How does that give even your own self any honor or merit? I mean, you did wrong, you pay the price. There's no glory to God. There's no honor in that. There's no even honor or merit to your own character. You did wrong, you pay the price. And even sometimes it takes a while to pay that price. He says, ye take it patiently. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults? That word buffeted there in verse number 20, it means to strike with a fist, to treat with violence. And so he says, for what honor is it? What glory is it if when ye be struck with a fist, to treat with violence, what glory is it if you take it patiently? For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. First of all, Peter's not saying it's okay to be struck with a fist for doing wrong. Okay, y'all know that. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted or struck with a fist for your faults, you take it patiently? He's not condoning that, saying it's okay. But it's a situation, and probably in Bible days, I mean, there was a lot of people being buffeted with their fist. But those situations where you're suffering wrongfully and it feels like you've been struck with a fist and you're being treated with violence. Well, if you do wrong, then you got to pay the price for doing wrong. And there's no glory in that. But then he says, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And so we see acceptable suffering. It's when we do good and we suffer for it. This is acceptable with God. So we see acceptable suffering. We see the focus of suffering. But then I want to spend a minute here on point number 3 in verse 21. The call to suffering. The call to suffering. He says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. We see the call to suffer here. And he says, for even hereunto were ye called, believers called. We're all going to experience some type of suffering while being a Christian down here on planet Earth. We're going to experience suffering from time to time, whether it's physical suffering, whether it's, you know, mental suffering, some kind of suffering, whether we're being treated unfairly, some kind of suffering we're going to do. And he says we were called to suffer. We're called with the combination of suffering and well-doing. There's times where we're called upon to suffer, but with the suffering, we're called upon to do well with our suffering. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. And so during those times of suffering, let us do well. There's coming a reward for that. You don't have to turn there, but the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 22, we see that Paul and Barnabas actually encourage believers and warn believers. You could turn if you like, but I'm going to read it right quick and we're going to come back. Acts chapter number 14, verse 22. The Bible goes on and talks about, it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And so it was Paul and it was Barnabas. Something about these verses here, actually, Paul just got through getting stoned up in verse number 19. They drug him outside of the gates of the city. They stoned Paul. They drew him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. And then in verse number 20, he rose up and went back into the city. And he's talking about suffering. He says, suffering is going to happen. Did Paul deserve to get stoned? No. No, he didn't. Mm-mm. But he got up and he continued. And he actually, with Barnabas, exhorted the other believers in verse 22. Exhorted them, encouraged them to continue during their times of suffering. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep your mind and your perspective on the Lord and what He may be doing. Focus on honoring the Lord and bringing glory to Him during your time of suffering. Continue, he says, in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So we're all called to suffer. We're all called to suffer. Back in our verses, 1 Peter chapter number 2. In fact, when Paul first got saved and he couldn't see, Ananias was called upon to go lay hands on Paul. The Lord told Ananias that he's going to, basically, Paul was called upon to suffer great things. And he was telling Ananias, this is part of that process of realizing that there is a price to pay living for the Lord, that he will suffer great things for the Lord. And so we too will suffer from time to time. Now, in verse 21, he says, "For even hereunto were ye called to suffer, and even sometimes suffer wrongfully." He says, "Because, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." So, number one, we're called upon to suffer for the Lord because Christ suffered for us. And what great motivation is it to endure suffering knowing that Jesus died for us? And the suffering he went through, and all of those things that he went through, he suffered for us, he died for us, and because of that, we're called upon to suffer for him. We're going to suffer for him, especially the gospel that we share, the lives that we live. Everybody's not going to agree with what we believe. Some are going to mock us. Some are going to ridicule us. You know, that's light suffering, but it is a form of suffering. But you know what? I'm going to, though I may be mocked and though I may be ridiculed, though I may receive a tongue lashing here or there from somebody, you know, try to tell me how it really is and tell me that, you know, oh, you're no good, your gospel's no good that you preach, I will endure that. I will endure it patiently because of the one who endured the cross patiently for me. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. And the rest of that verse says, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. And so we see that we're called upon to suffer because he died for us. We're called upon to suffer, and we have Christ for an example of how to suffer, how to take it. Notice in the same verse, verse 21, it says, leaving us an example. That word example means copy for imitation. It means an aid for beginners. It's like opening up a book and finding out, you know, what you need to do in order to fix something, get something accomplished. It's kind of like, you know, when a man buys something, he says he don't need the instructions to put it together. And the thing, we spend all day trying to put this together, and there's so many parts still left, and the thing is not even put together. It's crooked, it's flimsy, it's wobbly. I remember when Lily was a little girl, we bought her a little, real nice bed, a white, the whole deal. I think it was bunk beds for when she, if she had a friend to stay the night with her. White, real wood. And I said, oh, I don't need instructions of this. And so I sat down on the floor in her room. I took her to school that morning, and I looked at my watch. It was time to pick her up from school, and I had bolts and screws everywhere. I didn't know how to finish putting that thing together. And so finally, picked her up, came home. I looked at it. It says, number one, get a screwdriver. You know, number two, separate all your bolts and screws. Number three, put this and that. Number four, do this. Number five, do that. And so by following that, I was able to put her bunk beds together. Well, the Bible here tells us that we have a guide, instructions on how to suffer. He says Christ left the example that we should follow his steps. The word steps there means footprint. It means track. And so what was his steps? How did he suffer? How did he take it? Look at verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Stop there. That tells us how to suffer. When you're suffering wrongfully, he says that the Son committed himself to the Father, who knew all about it and who was able to judge righteously concerning his life. And he didn't threaten. He had no guile. He reviled not. But he was fully committed to the Father's plan. And so that's how, in part, how we suffer. We keep our perspective right on Jesus. He knows about our situation. We're committed to him. We don't revile back on people when they revile on us. We don't threaten. We don't get even. We don't shake our fist. Those are the things that we have to work against constantly, is not doing those things and doing things the way that, Jesus did things. So did things how he operated when he was in the flesh. And so we may have to open up that guide and look and see, how did Jesus handle? What did he do? You can go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the Gospels, and what Jesus did and how he responded, and all kinds of things you can glean from the life of Jesus on how to suffer. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And so he's given us two things in these finished verses, verse 22 through 25. He's telling us that we're to suffer, or we're going to be called upon to suffer, because he died for us. But then he tells us in these same verses how to suffer, like Jesus did. And so we see the call to suffer in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And again in verse number 20, acceptable suffering. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And then verse number 19, the focus of suffering. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. That's going down through the verses and back up through the verses tonight. And so that's the lesson, a little short tonight. But suffering wrongfully, again, as I said at the very beginning, I don't know who it's for. I mean, it's for all of us, but I don't know in particularly who it's to. Sometimes it's something that we need down the road. Other times it is things we're going through now. But nonetheless, that's the lesson tonight. Suffering wrongfully and just trying to learn what Christ did when he suffered, so that we might mimic his suffering and how he responded. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the group that's here tonight, Lord, our family and friends, God, our church family. I pray, Lord, that the word would sink deep into our hearts, Lord, and germinate. And God, help us to be, including myself, better students of the Bible, to run to the Bible when I don't know what to do. The Bible is a book of principles to tell us, to guide us, instruct us, and we're thankful for that. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways, and bring us back safely on Sunday, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody got anything to mention before we dismiss? All right, you're dismissed.